On today's episode of The State of Education with Melvin Adams, our guest is Don Blake. Don is the founding chairman of the Virginia Christian Alliance and has extensive experience serving his county. Let's join Melvin and Don as they discuss a perplexing question for taxpayers. What's in your public library?
So welcome to our program today, Mr. Blake. Glad to have you with us. So for our audience, tell us a little bit more about the Virginia Christian Alliance. What's some of the primary work and focus that you have?
Well, we started the VCA, we call it VCA, Virginia Christian Alliance, in January of 2009. So we just celebrated our 13th anniversary and into the 14th year. And we started it from several organizations coming together and creating an alliance. And we're all volunteers, and people have different specialties. They have different passions. And so we have a lot of people who are pro-life. That's a big issue for us, is the pro-life issue. But we have people who are really smart, who know a lot about creation, and they write about creation. We have people who are smart about the biblical worldview of the family and of government. And we've had thousands of people go through our events over these past 13 years, as many as 500 people at a time sometimes for some of these events. So we worked with a lot with churches, with other organizations, putting on, you know, co-partnering organizations and putting on things. So we've done a lot, and we have a lot of people that are very talented in what they do. We have writers. We have a newsletter that goes out every week, and we have people that write for us that just are so bright in their field. So that's what we do. I spend a lot of my personal time in networking and keeping all these people together. And so I'm on the phone a lot, travel a lot. And I influence with political people who are like-minded with us. So I'm engaged on the politics. Some people like me, some people don't. Some people like VCA, some don't. But we are strictly from a biblical worldview. We're an education group to educate pastors, churches, people sitting in pews, and anyone else who will take our materials. And we do have a lot of materials too, Melvin. So there's a lot of things we've done. You've known about us for a long time. So
sure. Here's a question for you. Are there particular things that you believe are being pushed on our children that are harmful to them and in conflict with faith and moral standards of both general community expectations and the law?
Let me just hold this up here. This is a nice looking little book, isn't it? But it says Girl Stuff, A Survival Guide to Growing Up. Answers to Every Girl's Questions, Especially the Ones She's Afraid to Ask. By Margaret Blackstone and Alyssa Hayden Guest. Now, my 10-year-old granddaughter brought this book home from the public library. And it's a cute little book. I mean, it's a nice looking little book. Her mother, my daughter, said, "What are you reading?" "I got this book at the library with grandma. Well, let me see it." And so my daughter just flipped through it and said, "You're not reading this book." Called him, "Dad, you ought to see what's in the public library, Henrico County Public Library." And so she brought it to me. And it didn't take me 10 minutes to go through this book to see the whole agenda. All you do is go to the back of the book and see who wrote it. It was written by two lesbians. And you see the recommended readings was Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, and then other things. It's just not good recommended reading. But this is a 10-year-old girl reading this book now. And it says in the front of the book, for grades 3 through 7, I mean, it's in the front of the book. I had to go buy my own book, but made a copy of it, 3 through 7. Now, I don't know, 10 years old through, well, how was 14-year-old, I guess, 13, 14-year-old, 7th grade. Anal sex, oral sex, homosexual sex, all kinds of stuff. You wouldn't believe it. And so this was in the public library of Henrico County, in the children's department. In the children's department, 3rd grade through 7. My granddaughter is now 28 years old this year. That's 18 years ago, Melvin. This is not new stuff. This is 18 years ago. When I took it to influential people in Henrico County, I said, "Take this book home, let your wife read it." "I'm not taking this trash home, let my wife read it." I said, "Well, it's in the schools. I mean, it's in the public library. People, kids can check it out." He said, "What are you going to do? Go through the library, and you probably have 1 million books in Henrico County Public Library. So you're going to go through each one of them and do it." Anyway, so Nothing ever happened, except I did complain. The library changed it to 9th grade through 12th grade. I don't go to the public libraries. And if you do go to the public library, you find that there's more entertainment in libraries than it is. I think we might have talked about this when we were on the phone before, because I have visited libraries recently because all this, the book issues that are affecting at public schools and in public school libraries. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. If you go to a public library in Henrico County, you will find as many entertainment books, novels, videos, as you will actually books that people can learn from. And so, you know, they cease to be what, when I was a kid, we'd go to the library to look up something because you got to write a school paper and you go want to read about George Washington or whatever. You can't even find this stuff in libraries anymore. And you have a hard time finding a Bible in a public library anymore. Most recent one I went to had one in the whole $30 million library in my home county, one Bible in the whole library, nothing in the youth department, nothing in the children's department, and one in the adult section, one library. But however, if you go to the library, in Gay Pride Month, two libraries I visited last Gay Pride Month had big displays. I mean, big, like 5-foot displays of recommended gay book readings, but there's no recommended readings on issues that people ought to have. I mean, they have a whole month devoted to stuff, and that was in the children's department and in the adult department, these displays. So we're influencing things. And to continue on with this same thought, it's in the school, it's in the public schools too, and you know, we're reading about this all the time. They're finding these books. Well, who approves these books? Nobody seems to know who approves them. So in the recent weeks, I've talked to librarians in both Hanover County, which is next door to me, and Henrico County, about who buys these books. I mean, who approves these books? Well, my finding is that they get book reviews and recommendations from like a National Library Association that these are current new books, hot sellers. And then, so they're book reviews. So somebody looks at book review and somebody orders it. And I said, does anybody ever read these books when they come in? This lady who seemed pretty knowledgeable said, well, I don't think anybody ever reads them. They just read the reviews and they put them up there for the public to read them. So this is wrong. And if the taxpayers really knew what was in these libraries, I don't know how often you go to a public library or a school library. I don't have any kids in school. My grandkids are grown. So I have a reason to go. But if the taxpayers knew what they were paying for, they would be greatly upset. Now, so how can we stop that? Well, we can stop it, Melvin, by taking the inside cover and putting a label in there that says, this book was entered into service at this library on a certain date and time. It was approved by so-and-so and the principal or the head of the library. So maybe two people would have to approve the book. Then when somebody checks the book out, they could say, oh, Melvin Adams approved this book. I think I'll take a look at it. Who's Melvin Adams? Or what says on there? Melvin Chief Librarian or whatever it is on there. You know, it says your title on there and the date. Well, Melvin, how did you approve this thing? This is trash. Why did you approve it? So there's no accountability. If there's accountability, we won't have this stuff in our library. So it might take a year or so to go through every book in the library, have somebody put a date on. But you could be pretty easy to do George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, you know, or Ronald Reagan or Barack Obama. I mean, to approve those books, because it's not going to be detrimental to the students. And they're pushing this sexual agenda in the schools and in the public libraries. So there's a way to do this. I mean, there are answers to solve these problems.
So first of all, it is important that parents understand that this kind of stuff is in our public libraries and in their school libraries. You know, I would agree with you that probably most parents would disapprove of their tax dollars being used to fund this kind of content. But let's zero in here a little bit more as to, you know, so you talked about, you know, the idea of having something inside of a book like that. So if communities wanted that done, if parents wanted that done, or some other kind of action steps that they wanted to see for more accountability in our libraries, what would they do? What action steps could people take that would actually have the potential of having impact and getting results?
Well, So that we can, as parents, voters, we can influence those people who are able to make these changes. For instance, we can go to public meetings of a board of supervisors and say, why do you have in the public library video games and videos that are of no educational value whatsoever? I mean, they've got, these really movies you would never want to go see them. I would never want to see them. But young people like to see car wrecks and killings and all this stuff and drug deals and things. I mean, there's so much stuff, so much junk in the movies these days. And they're on video. But they can watch this on their home television. They can live stream. So why are we paying for this stuff? And so, and also on the fiction. I mean, there's so much fiction. Fiction is not, there are educational novels that are historical novels. Okay, you can have fiction. I mean, you've got lots of people who, the classics, you know, those need to be in there. But this modern day stuff, 50 Shades of Grey, that belong in the public library? Well, I'm sure it was. I don't know if it's still there now or not, but I mean, all this stuff, but they can join the library board. In fact, I looked up to see who was my representative in my district for my library board. And I'm going to see about maybe I should get on the library board. I mean, other parents can get on these boards. Why not? In fact, you know who gets on these? Liberals get on these boards. Liberals get on boards all across the Commonwealth, probably all across America, because they feel like they want to do something. But most of us are just regular people, and we're conservative. You know, you look at where values are, people are basically conservative in their values, but we're not getting those people on the right boards. Look at the school board. Look at Fairfax County, Loudoun County. I mean, all Fairfax, all 12 people were all liberals. I mean, so what are you going to get? You go run 12 people against them. And people are coming out now and saying, I'm going to run for school boards. In my home county, the school board in my county is just about dead. I mean, I don't know that we can resurrect it until we get all five of them replaced, or at least three. You got to get three out of five replaced to make a change. Then we have to influence those people, the county managers, board of supervisors, and tell them this is wrong. Go to public meetings and speak out. Go to school board meetings and speak out. That's the only thing. Then that's happened in a lot of areas now around the Commonwealth, in the conservative, like Hanover County. Boy, they really have beat on those school board members of Hanover County. And other places. And so we're likely to see some changes in upcoming elections with school boards being changed out. But that's the only thing they can do. They can only express their opinion and show up and protest these things with signs and everything else, which they have been doing a lot lately. And it is making an effect on it. We got a governor who came to realize that this is important, and public education is important. And so that was something he ran on, public education, you know. And look what the Northam administration did to our public education system following 4 years of McCulloch. We had 8 years of downgrading public education and putting all these agendas in there. I don't know if you ever saw them. That was like a 17-page report on this is how you're going to treat transgender. Like, okay, who comes up with this stuff, you know? But parents, grandparents need to be speaking out, and they are. And they're starting to speak out. So that's my thing, is go speak out, do something, join a board.
Excellent. So, yeah, I'm very encouraged by parental involvement in education. There are a lot of educators, a lot of teachers that are concerned about these things as well. They have every right to speak up and to encourage, help inform the parents what they know is going on, and coordinate, get these things presented before the local officials and the legislators so that they understand what's going on. And if they're it, because politics follows culture, if the parents are unsatisfied with what's happening, if they will speak up in an organized and coordinated way, there is a good possibility that some of these policies can be rolled back. And if not fully rolled back, at least where there is some form of accountability for people and the actions and the decisions that are made, and where, you know, it's interesting that accountability is one of the best things to help people think through decisions that are made. And do I really want to put my name on that? And I think the idea of having something in the front of every book in your public libraries and your school libraries that state clearly, you know, who authorized the book and, you know, that type of stuff, I think will go a long ways to helping us clean up some of the things that our kids are being exposed to. But in order for that to happen, we as citizens are going to have to do our homework, get involved, understand what's really there, and in appropriate ways, in legal ways, in systematic ways, help to inform others and come around with solutions that actually fix the problems.
Well, I think you're right. And one thing I thought about while you were speaking was I've been to school board meetings, and there have occasionally been a pastor present. One in particular that I know the pastor, and I was given 6 minutes, and I was dressed in a suit, had my prepared message, and all I was doing was quoting medical doctors on this transgender thing. And I had 6 minutes. And so a pastor came and spoke. I think he spoke before me. Anyway, he was dressed just a shirt and pants. Didn't look like a pastor, never identified himself as a pastor. He identified himself as a resident of the county. And his church has at least 500 members. He had 3 minutes to speak. And he would have influenced those school board members much more, with much more influence if he had on a suit and tie. Instead, I'm a pastor of 500 people. And about 80 people of his church were sitting out in the audience. And that's a fact. But he didn't use his sphere of influence, you know, his power that he had. And he would have been given 6 minutes too, because he represented a church. So everybody else only got 3 minutes. I got 6 minutes. I don't even live in the county, but they gave me 6 minutes, and I knew that. So I had prepared for it. But pastors need to go to these things and take their congregation to the school board meetings and stand up. So they need to talk on Sunday. They need to talk about the problems we're having in public schools. We're not going to get rid of public schools. We're just not going to get rid of them. But we can influence what goes on in those public schools. But all these churches that sit around empty all week long, you see them in Richmond. We've got a church like on every corner, just about, it seems like, you know. They're everywhere. You just try to drive down the road ahead in front of my office. There's three churches, and they build a new one within 2 miles each way you drive. Maybe four. They're building a brand new one now. And so these churches sit empty because the classrooms are not being used all week long. They could start their churches. And there are. And the reason this has caused more people to say, we need to start a school in that church. So I think come September, there's going to be more church schools going on. But they can do this. So the churches need to pick up the slack, take responsibility, and give the children an alternative to the public school. But we can influence the public schools, and then we can raise their children in church schools or private schools of some type. But also, as far as school vouchers, and you know about this, but you've been knowing about it for years and working on it, why not get only the Democrats vote against it. So we have one party that votes against school choice vouchers. But if we started right now today and put a bill in, it's over with now, but next January, we put a bill in for school choice vouchers to go on, it has to be a constitutional amendment. It would be 2 whole years. So a first grader would be in the third or maybe even fourth grade before they could get the money to follow the child. But we just need to get enough Republicans elected, because the Democrats are tied to the educational system, Teachers Association. But we could change that. And then everybody. And who needs the worst? The people who are the minority people, the poorer people, those lower income people. People in bad neighborhoods, they need schools worse than anybody else does, you know, and you have to keep voting these people into office. So we could change that. And I can tell you stories where people, churches have been woken up and said, we need to do this. I mean, rural churches, you know.
Thank you for the time you've spent with us today. Thank you for the work you're doing, and to try to shine some light on some of these areas. And I appreciate you talking to us today.
Thanks for listening. Here at the Noah Webster Educational Foundation, we provide relevant conversations to educate and encourage you to engage with your local government and school system. Join the conversation today on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or visit our website at nwef.org. The views of our guests are not necessarily those of the Noel Webster Educational Foundation. We'll see you next time on the State of Education with Melvin Adams.